Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. It's very good that we're all here together, even though it was snowing a little bit, but we still have a chance to gather together around the Word of God. Can anybody remember which epistle we are going through in the study on English service? Anybody remember? Well, I'm sure you remember that we're going through James. You might have just been shy to say it, but let's open up our Bibles to James, the epistle written by James, and we will be continuing in the third chapter today. While you're opening that letter, last time we talked about faith, how it has to have our faith has to have works to be genuine, and we looked at that we need to practice our faith, we need to live out what we say, and this time we see a different exhortation. Last time James was talking about that our faith needs to have works, good works, and this time we will see an exhortation of how we need to speak good words. We need to speak good words, and this section in the third chapter talks about our tongue. Taming the untamable tongue is what I wanted to speak today about. So let's read these verses here. We'll read from verse 1 to 12. James writes, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of the and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse man. Who has been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. So, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water." This is a very interesting text. I think that if I had a choice, I would probably not choose this text because it is rather convicting and rather hard to deal with a text like this. But since we're going through the epistle in order, we cannot skip texts that are a little hard. And I know that each one of us struggles in this area because James includes himself in this group. If James, being the apostle that wrote this epistle, struggled with his tongue and knew that we all struggle in this, then I know that each one of us struggles with this. But today I wanted to look at the fact that even though we all struggle in this, we still need to have control over our tongue. And we will see that even though James says that the tongue is untamed, no man can tame the tongue, but we will see that man cannot do what God can do. God can tame our tongue if we only allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. Today I wanted to talk about four points in this section that we read today. And the first point that I wanted to draw to our attention is our tongue can judge what we say. Our tongue can judge what we say. And this is dealing with teaching. And we read the first two verses. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers." So it is interesting that talking about the tongue, James starts with the teachers, because that's what teachers do. They use their tongue to profess, to proclaim the word of God. And he says that teachers will have a stricter judgment. And it's very interesting that he uses this. And it's interesting, why does he lift the teachers on a different level? Why would the teachers have a stricter judgment? And we will look at this in just a minute. We'll see that James is not discouraging a person that has the calling of God from proclaiming the word. He's not saying, let nobody become a teacher. He's saying, let not many become teachers, because those that are called, if you are called by God, you will proclaim the word. But he's saying, do not make yourself a teacher. If you do not have the calling of God, it is a very dangerous place to be to proclaim the word, because each one of us can stumble very easily with our mouth. And we see that, just like Apostle Paul, he said, if anybody desires the position of a bishop or a pastor or a teacher, he desires a good thing. Apostle Paul never said that teaching was a bad thing, but here James, he brings to the to our attention the seriousness of the teaching of the word of God, and how easily we can slip, even if it's just unintentional, but we can slip, our tongue can slip and say something that is misinterpreted, and it could ruin our whole ministry. And why do teachers have a stricter judgment? Let's look at this for a minute. I believe because God expects us to live what we teach, and also teach what we live. Whatever we have went through, when we read this word, it has to go through us first, and then we can proclaim it to the people who listen to us, whether it's a Sunday school class or teaching the word or a pastor. And I wanted to mention one thing. When we look at the Old Testament, and we read in Numbers 14:22, we see that the nation of Israel they put God to the test. They put God to the test, and 10 times they were tempting the Lord, and God had patience on them for 10 times. And God was, because they did not hear the word of the Lord. But let's look at how many chances did Moses get. The nation of Israel got 10 chances, and after that, the Lord was punished them. Moses only got one chance whenever he used his mouth, and then he struck the stone or the rock. We see that a servant of the Lord does not have as many chances, because he can easily, because he represents God to the people. And we see that Moses had only one chance, and he did not enter into the king to the promised land because of his failure. And one other thing I wanted to notice in this section is that we will either be justified by our words or we'll be condemned. And I want to say that there's no middle ground to the words that we say. They will always either justify us or condemn us. Our tongue can judge us because we all stumble, and that's what James says here, that we all often stumble with our mouths. And let's look at one text together from Matthew 12:37. Matthew 12:37. It's the words of Jesus. He says the following: for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For every idle word. If we really take this serious, then I think we would control our tongues much more. And also he says, next verse, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We always understand that we are justified by faith, but here Jesus says that by our words we will be justified. It is very interesting to pay attention. It is very important to pay attention to the words that come out of our mouth, because by these words we will either be justified or condemned. And we're not able to sin physically because we do not have the opportunity. We might be in a situation where we cannot sin, but with our tongue we can always sin. That is why the tongue is such a danger. That's why it is said to be a fire, because the tongue can always slip, and we can always sin with our tongue. That's why James dedicates almost a whole chapter to the dangers of the tongue, because there's no limit to what we can do with our tongue. Sometimes we can't sin because the situation does not allow us, but we can always sin with our tongue. And we know that there is no perfect man, but if a man was to be perfect, he would start by taming his tongue. And the word here that James uses, perfect, it can also be translated as mature, somebody who has a maturity in Christ. If a person is mature, he will be able to bridle his tongue or control it. So the first thing we looked at is that our tongue can judge what we say. The second point I wanted to point out is that our tongue can control where we go. Our tongue can control where we go. And these are the next verses from 3-5. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member but boasts great things. That our tongue can control where we go. It can direct our whole body. So James mentions this several times in this section. And so he points out that such a small part, like a bit or a rattle, controls such a huge or a large object. Likewise, our tongue is such a small part of our body, but it controls where our whole body goes. Just like a horse, if a horse is not tamed, then the horse is absolutely useless to man if it's just a wild beast. But when a person puts the bit inside its mouth, then he can control it by pulling one side or the other. He can direct the position of the direct where he wants the horse to go and what he wants it to do. And the same thing is with the rudder. Compared to the whole ship, the rudder is very, very small. It's about less than 0.1% of the whole size or weight of the ship. So it's the ship is so massive, yet is controlled by a rudder in the back that turns, is turned by the captain to the direction where he wants it to go. And he uses all these analogies just to point out to us that just like these two things he mentions here, that's exactly what our tongue does to our body. And we might not be so familiar with ships or horses because we live in a different time, but it is just the same thing as when we sit behind a wheel and we turn the wheel, especially if it's a large vehicle like a truck or a bus. It is a very large bus, but we drive, we turn the direction just by a small wheel. And that's what James is trying to get to us here, that our tongue, it controls what the rest of our body does. And we also see that just like the rudder controls the ship, so our tongue controls the body. And I wanted to mention one thing, that if we speak a lie, oftentimes if we start speaking a lie, we begin to live a lie. So if we start by lying on little things here and there, it turns out to the point where we start living a life that is a lie. And the same thing goes with speaking about immoral things. If we just start speaking about things that are not appropriate for Christians, maybe it's just a joke here and there, we start speaking immorally, then it turns into a life of immorality. We start living this life, immoral life, and it all starts with the tongue. And James, even though he uses a negative connotation here, I think he also implies that it could be used positively. So just like if the tongue forces us to do bad things, we can also force our tongue to do good things. So when we wake up in the morning, even though we are tired and we don't want to worship the Lord or pray, if we force our tongue to say the words, like even if we read a psalm from the Bible and we just force the words to come out of our tongue, that will drive the rest of our body to do what is right and pleasing to the Lord. So we need to force our tongue to also do the right thing. And if we control our tongue in this way, we will also be able to fulfill the will of God in our life. Our tongue also determines where our body will go. And if we don't sin with our mouth, James says, then we are a perfect person or a mature. And if we just try to control our tongue more, we will see that we will grow into Christian maturity. And if we learn to control our tongue, the rest of our body will be easily to control. And James says that the tongue is the main thing that causes us to sin. It is the instrument that we sin most through. And if we learn to control this tongue, then we will be able to control the rest of our body much easier. And this can only happen by practicing self-control or practicing the fruit of the Spirit. And our mouth will be controlled only as much as we are conformed to the image of Christ. So if we want our tongue to be controlled, we need to live a life that is pleasing to God, and how we need to look more like Christ and be in His Word daily. And it is true that no man can tame the tongue, as we read here in verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. But it does not say that it does not say that God cannot tame our tongue, or that God cannot give us the strength to tame. He's saying that if we try on our own, and we will not be able to do this. But once, if we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, and we, like I said before, that if we force our tongue to praise God and worship and pray Him and do and speak good words, then the Spirit will give us strength to tame the tongue. And just like we read in Acts chapter 2, we see that when the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles, it controlled their tongue, and they started speaking in different languages, and they were praising God. When the Holy Spirit has control over our tongue, it leads to praise, and it will lead to blessings, and we will edify others, and we will not be destroying others through our speech. And also, I wanted to note that we not only can control our tongue, but God says that we must control our tongue. He gives us plenty of other verses that imply that we as Christians need to watch the content that comes out of our mouth. And one of those verses is Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29 is a very good verse that shows us that what comes out of our mouth is very important. And it says, "Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and for what is good for a necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." If we learn to live by this verse, I think we will not sin as much with our tongues. But it is a practice where we need to learn from the beginning of the day, that we say, "Lord, please use my tongue today to glorify You, and that I will not use it to destroy others." And the third point here I wanted to mention is that our tongue can destroy who we are. So the second thing we looked at was our tongue can control where we go. And the third thing is that our tongue can destroy who we are. And this refers to our character and our integrity, our reputation. Our tongue can destroy who we are. And in the next section, that's exactly what James talks about. He mentions the fire four times, and he talks about evil and cursings. Let's read these verses again to refresh our memory. From second part of verse 5. "See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of the and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." So we see that James uses a lot of compares a lot of things from nature to the destruction that our tongue can do. And the tongue is a fire that destroys everything in its path. The tongue is not compared here to water, which is also very destructive if If there's a flood and a lot of water gathers together, it will destroy everything in its path. But that's not what James compares the tongue to, because the water cannot multiply. If we put a bucket of water, fill it up, it will stay just that gallon of water. But if you take fire, it will multiply exponentially and it will destroy everything. He says that our tongue is like a fire that grows if it is not controlled properly. One example that comes to mind is the Great Chicago Fire that happened in 1871. It happened on October 8th and it lasted till October 10th. For 3 days, the city of Chicago was on fire. 1871, that was a long time ago. But it all started from one spark. And what we see that this one spark, it destroyed almost the whole city of Chicago. We see that around 200 or 300 people were burned alive, and it destroyed about 4 miles of the city. And about 17,500 buildings were destroyed, and $22 million in property were, $222 million in property was destroyed, and that was back in those days. And we see that out of 300,000 inhabitants, 100,000 ended up being homeless because of this fire. And how quickly it spread because of all the city was built at that time from wood. And everything just burned and nobody could put out this fire. And James uses this example as a fire as how quickly controversy or we could start a problem with our tongue if we do not control it. And using the tongue to speak evil of others doesn't only hurt others, it also hurts ourselves. It even destroys us more because it ruins our reputation as we look that it destroys who we are inside. It destroys our character. And Proverbs 16:27, Solomon says this, Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. So the evil person always digs up. He looks for what to find in other people. Instead of covering it up, he always wants to spread this fire because that's what the evil person does. And that's how Solomon compares that. It is like a fire on their lips. And the tongue also can be compared to a razor. It is so sharp, it cuts like a knife or like a razor. And we read this in Psalm 52, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 52, verses 2 and 3. It says, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. He says, that our mouths can be as sharp as a razor, and it can destroy, it can cut and can injure those that are around us. And it also injures us first. And the danger of the tongue is that people can say anything they want. There's no limits to what we can say with our mouth. If we just let our mouth speak whatever it wants, it will always speak evil if we do not control it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And also in this section, James compares the tongue to a world of iniquity. Let's look what he means by this, a world of iniquity. And we see that first thing is that it defiles the whole body. It's interesting how what comes out of our mouth actually defiles our whole body, not just our mouth and not just our heart, but the whole body is defiled. And that's what Jesus also says. In Mark 7:21, he says, what comes out of the person is what defiles us. It's not what goes in our mouth. And we see that it also defiles everyone around us. That's why he says it is a world of iniquity. It defiles our friends, our church, our community, our family, everybody around us. They are affected when we use our mouth to hurt other people. And he says also that it is set on fire by hell. And the Russian Bible translates it Gehenna, or Gehenna, which is the exact Greek word that James uses. And here it's translated hell. The word Gehenna is the valley of Hinnom in a city near, it is a valley near Jerusalem where there was always a fire for the city. It was like a city dump where people would throw their trash and they would throw dead animals. They would throw anything they did not need, and it always smelled and it almost always burned. There was always fire there. There was always smoke, and nobody wanted to go near it because it smelled really bad. And that's what Jesus compares hell to. He says it is like Gehenna. And that's, James is saying that that's the, if we do not control our tongue, that's the source of the evil that comes out of our tongue, that it comes from hell. And this is a very interesting word. We need to notice that if we let our tongue say whatever we want, the source that we're using to get to speak is directly from hell. And this, we do not want to work for the devil. We want to use our tongue to speak praises and glory and honor to the Lord. So let us learn to tame our tongue, like James says that it cannot be tamed, but we need to learn that we need to control our tongue. And another thing he compares our tongue to is a deadly poison. It is like a deadly poison we saw in the last section of verse 8. It is a deadly poison. And James uses the animal kingdom here to show that every kind of animal has been tamed. But he says, he's talking about the wild beasts. He's not talking about horses or cows or domesticated animals. He's talking about the beasts that man was able to control or tame these animals. But no man can tame the tongue. And we see that man by himself cannot do this, but when we let the Holy Spirit work through us, we can change. When we let the Holy Spirit change our heart, then we are able to change our tongue. And James is saying that our tongue is even more dangerous than a roaring lion, because that roaring lion can be tamed by man. It can be restrained, but when we let our tongue loose, then it cannot be restrained. And because this is a deadly poison, because if we speak foolish remarks, it will destroy our reputation. It is like a fire that whatever it doesn't burn, it will defile, and everything will smell like fire. And sometimes you cannot even wash the smell of fire out of clothing that's been in a building that was burned, because it's so ingrained in that fabric. James is saying that whatever, if we say something, it could be 1 minute, it could be 1 second, we say something and it could ruin our reputation for a lifetime. That's why James uses so much time to try to explain this to us, that it is very important that we control what we say. And he also says that by speaking poisonous words, we can ruin our reputation, or we could ruin our relationships with others for life. And sometimes even if we ask for forgiveness, there is always that people, if we say something very hurtful, it's very hard to forget that. And the fourth point and final thing I wanted to talk about is that our tongue can compromise what we do. Our tongue can compromise what we do. And this is in reference to bearing fruit, or what we do for the Lord, and what kind of testimony we will have to others. What we heard in Philippians, that we should live a life that is, people will see us and glorify God. But if we don't control our tongue, then it will compromise what we can do. And this is verse 9 through 12. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. What have been made in the similitude or image of God? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. And we see by this statement, James says that this is not the way it should be. He says this is how it is, but this is not the way we should live. And we will look at that a little more later on. And we see that we will never be able to bear fruit or bear good fruit for the Lord if we have a double tongued, if our mouth is double tongued, if we speak hypocrisy, we will not be able to bear good fruit for the Lord. And if we compromise with our tongue, then we will never be able to serve the Lord. And James says, how could we bless God and curse man if man is made in the image of God? So what he's saying is that if we say that we believe in God and God created that man, then we cannot curse that man because he is made in the image of God. We should bless that man. Even if they do evil to us, we should bless and not curse. And we see how the Pharisees, they would bless God as they were in the temple, and as soon as they stepped out of the temple, they would curse Jesus the same, with the same tongue. They would bless God and then they would curse Jesus or anybody else because Jesus was proclaiming the truth and they did not like to hear the truth. And what does nature teach us about consistency? We see that in this last three verses that James says that our tongue is very inconsistent, that we can compromise. But what does nature say? James says that there's no compromise in nature. A good tree will bear good fruit and a bad tree will bear bad fruit. And he uses three examples here. The first one is that a spring cannot send good and bad water from the same opening. And a fig tree does not bear olives, or the grapevine does not bear figs. He just says that whatever is that God puts in that tree, that's what will come out. And I think that James was borrowing from the words of Jesus that Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 43 and 45. Luke 6, 43 and 45, and this will be the final passage that we'll read. I think this is a very important passage that how we can tie everything we heard together. Luke 6, 43. Jesus uses the same kind of analogy. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from bramble bushes. A good person out of the good treasures of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasures of his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's interesting that James doesn't put all the attention on the heart, even though that's the source where the evil comes from, but he uses the mouth because it is the instrument that we often use to spread the evil is the mouth, even though we have the evil in our heart. And we need to deal with the evil in the heart first before we can learn to control our tongue. And let's look at why then is our tongue so inconsistent. If nature is always consistent and whatever we plant, we will bear the same thing, why is our tongue so inconsistent? And the reason is because it acts according to its sinful nature. It acts consistent with its sinful nature. And the Bible describes the tongue with many words. And if we look at all the words, it would be a very, very long list of how evil the tongue is. The Bible describes the tongue as blaspheming, deceitful, corrupt, filthy, angry, flattering, slanderous, lying, gossiping, backbiting, boasting, murmuring, cursing, exaggerating, and the list could go on and on for a very long time, how the Bible describes the evil of the tongue. And we know that the source of the evil is from the heart, but it comes out through our tongue. And we see that our tongue is consistent with its sin nature, unless the Holy Spirit gets control of our heart and we can change the outcome of our tongue. And in conclusions, dear friends, as we are moving through this epistle, I just want to show that just like we read last time, that our faith has to have good works and our faith has to be evident in the way that we speak. If people cannot see that through the way we speak that we are Christians, then we need to test ourselves. Are we truly in the faith? And I know each one will stumble, each one will occasionally, we will stumble with our mouth and we will say what we did not want, but what is our reaction? Do we repent of that, or do we agree with that, or do we say, oh, it's okay, no big deal? If we are truly, if the faith is that James talked about earlier is evident in us, then we will speak truth. And if we do stumble, we will repent and we will accept it as sin when we say things that are inappropriate. And James doesn't say no man can tame the tongue. So he doesn't say, so no man can tame the tongue, so live whatever way you want. He does not say that. He says, this ought not to be, as we looked in verse 10. He says, this ought not to be a lifestyle. If we have a tongue that is double, it is hypocritical, then this ought not to be. We should have a tongue that glorifies our God and Creator. And we can only learn to control our tongue when the Holy Spirit lives in us, and when we acknowledge that it is not our works, but it is the Lord working in us through His grace that gives us the strength to bridle our tongue, to control our tongue. And even though James says we cannot control our tongue, we can ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord today to give us strength to speak words of grace and mercy to others. And let us pray that the Lord will give us strength to do this. Amen.